children. You're not coming. You're not coming after my this generation. You're not coming after my family, my marriage. You're not coming after me. You're not coming after this nation. You know, the enemy has a plan, but God's plan is greater. And we've had, the church has been too silent for way too long. And we wouldn't be in the place that we are today if it wasn't for the church stepping back. If it wasn't for the church preventing the breaches from taking place in the temple. And, you know, we're going to be talking this morning about generational curses and breaking generational curses and breaking demonic cycles that are in our life and for our family. Because the only way that we're going to cause a reversal of what the enemy is trying to do is if we have an attitude. David didn't go sheepishly to Goliath and, hey, sir, can I put this stone in your head? No, but he did the assignment from God. He accomplished the assignment from God with an attitude. I don't know if we have some women in this room that you're ready to get your attitude back. You're tired of the enemy. I mean, that was really weak. But I don't know if we have any women in the room this morning that are ready to get your attitude back. Come on, we got to get some fight back. This morning I come dressed as the very modest Christianized version of the Tomb Raider. Because we are going to the tomb of hell. And we are going to not only dig up the bones of the very people, the very demonic ancient spirits that are trying to make way in our nation today. We're not just going to dig them up, but we're going to completely annihilate them where there is not even a remains of it. Because when God does a revival, then the remains of the sin has been taken away. There is a purity that takes place. And the only way that that can happen, the only way that we can see the revival in our family, in this nation, is if we get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be some, you know, cute Christians anymore. If we are, then we're not going to see anything. Yeah. You know, we don't come for church. We don't come, you know, for cute church. I don't know about you. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the programs, and none of it is working. None of these things are working that, you know, we're finding that as we have structured, we have had the most amazing business plan of churches and church growth, which is awesome, you know, from some aspects. But there comes a place in time when you become desperate enough that none of the programs work anymore, because we need the presence over the programs. And the time when we forfeit the presence for the program, then there's nothing. We're just going for a freak show, right? And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. I'm just going to talk about this story. You can go back and read it later, but I want to talk to you about this story. And this was a man, a young man, who was tired of the demonic cycles that were started and began, and those doors were opened up in the generations before him. And, you know, he said, it stops with me. Because these cycles can't stop until you stop the cycle.
That's right. That's right.
Cycles will not stop. So if you have somebody that is around you that has an argumentative spirit and you're tired of it, don't argue with them. Stop arguing with them. Because if a person who is controlled by an argumentative spirit, which the Bible says that those who argue are fools. So don't engage and don't lower your position because of somebody else's foolishness. And when we give in to, for example, someone who is controlled by a spirit of arguing all the time, if we don't give in to that, then guess what? It stops that spirit. They have nothing to feed off of with you. If there's somebody in your life that is operating out of a spirit of control, stop allowing them to control you. How are we going to stop the cycle? It begins with a physical act. Because a physical, you know, your physical response to warfare, it triggers a takeover in the spirit realm. And I'm going to say it again. Your physical response to demonic warfare in your life will trigger a takeover in the spirit realm. Yeah. What does that mean? That means that there's something as, you know, as charismatic Christians, as Pentecostals, a lot of times we just want to get lost and drunk in the glory. And I'm all about that. But a lot of people have just got stuck in that situation and think everything is going to be handed to them. And they forgot that they've got to take action. Well, it has to be a physical act that we do. We can't just act like, oh, you know, God's just going to come. He's going to remove the spirit of anger out of my life. Really? Because faith without works is dead. You know, a spirit of drama. Let's just call it a spirit. It probably is a spirit, right? If you have drama, you come into the prayer meetings all the time, and all you can talk about are your problems. Everything that you talk in every conversation that you want to just glorify your problems. I'm sorry. You just let me know I can't be your friend.
Right.
Because it doesn't mean that drama is not in your atmosphere. But there comes a point where you take action, woo, to control that atmosphere. Yes. And you know what happens? I find that people who are always consumed with drama, it doesn't dismiss the fact that I'm going through hell. Right. But if I'm constantly talking about all the drama, I attract those demonic spirits to me everywhere that I go. I don't want to be associated with people who are constantly talking about their issues, because you know what? I'm going through stuff too. But when I talk about things, angels attach themselves to that words. And I'm not just talking about heavenly angels. Right. I'm also talking about the fallen angels will attach themselves to the word. Because when you are a child of the Most High God, what you say matters. If our Father created, He spoke into existence creation. And we are His children. How much more powerful are your words? So people start coming into your prayer circle. People start coming into your house, calling you up with all their drama. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be talking about all this, because I'm not attracting that spirit that you are consumed with. It's not coming in my circle, because I've got to protect my spirit, and I'm protecting. I'm breaking cycles. So anyway, that was for somebody. Praise God. I don't do drama. As I'm standing here in costumes and hallelujah. I don't do it. I don't do it. It's a lie. It's a lie. So let's talk about Josiah. So Josiah is a victim in a situation of demonic cycles and generational curses. And at the age of 8, he is forced into this position to become king. But he was anointed. And the thing that's so awesome, when we look at his father, Amnon, and then even Amnon's father, the word begins to describe them that at the end of each of their reigns, that it says, and there was no other king that was more wicked than them. And then Amnon said, and you know what? There's no one who has reigned that was more wicked than him. It increased in the generation. It increased the wickedness and the evilness, because they allowed things that they were not supposed to allow in front of the temple. Even inside the temple. And you know what caused? What happened was the lack of the word in their life allowed breaches to come into the presence of God. Breaches to come into the temple. And so here's Josiah. He's fatherless. He's 8 years old. And then in the 18th year of his reign, it was the year of the repairing of the temple. You see, there were breaches that were in the temple. When a breach takes place, that means that I can no longer control what comes in and what comes out. I am unprotected. The presence of God, the temple of God, was unprotected due to the lack of exercising the word in the previous generations. And it wasn't Josiah's fault. It was the actions of family. Can we sit there for a second? Because a lot of the breaches that are before us that we have the responsibility to repair in our life, if we're going to see a move of God, many times it's not even our fault that we are victims of it, but we have a choice. I'm either going to stay in this place. I'm going to rehearse over and over all of the things that took place and why this shouldn't be and why they shouldn't have done that. Or I'm going to pick up the tools that God has given to me, because this is the year that the temple of God is to be restored. This is the conference that the presence of God is going to be restored in my life, and in my family if I'm going to see a change. I'm either going to complain about it. I'm either going to fuss about it. I'm going to tell everybody about it, call the prayer line, call everybody about it. Or I'm going to realize, you know what? There's something that I have to do. If I want the presence of God in this generation, look, they come and there's no, if you don't realize the agenda of the enemy right now to come after your kids, to bring confusion, spiritual perversion, to try to plant seeds, to try to be deceptive, then you need to wake up. It is time to get our attitude back, woman.
Yeah.
Women, not woman. Maybe it is one of y'all, woman. Yeah. Women.
Right.
We are the emotional one. We feel. We're the ones that are passionate. When you see bear cubs, you better get out the way because you know who is next to them.
Yeah.
Who is that that you don't want to meet? Is the mama.
The mama.
And God is looking for some mamas.
Yeah.
To rise up in this time, who are tired of seeing their children being casualties of the demonic agenda in our land. If we're going to see it, there's something we've got to do. There's something we have to do, and that's where Josiah was. There were breaches. It wasn't his fault, but he decided, I'm not going to focus on that. There's a job for me to do. And so as he begins to tell, he says, go tell. He sends his servant and he says, go tell the high priest, we're going to gather all the money in the temple. We're going to gather all the funds and we're going to pay the workers, all of them. Let's go ahead and take the money that's in the house and we're going to pay for the repairing of the temple. Because what's amazing to me, there was enough money. First and foremost, let's just point out, it wasn't one breach. There were multiples. And so much damage was done that they had to hire it out. They couldn't do it themselves. You ever felt that way? There's so much damage that's been done, maybe even that you've created.
Right.
Maybe some mistakes that you've made.
Right.
I know I'm not perfect. I know I've made mistakes.
Right.
Thank God for his grace. Thank God for the opportunity that I have to come before him, ask for forgiveness, and with my actions,
yes,
I'll be able to repair the breaches.
Right.
So they pay them, and as they're in the high priest is in the temple, he finds the book of the law, the Pentateuch, the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And commentator Dakes begins to say that it was tucked by the Ark of the Covenant. And it hadn't been used for generations. Because when you apply the word of God in your life, the Bible says that the word is living.
Mm-hmm.
And it is active.
Yeah.
So when I read the word, I can't help but be in motion.
Right.
The word of God puts me in motion. The word of God activates me to do something because I have an assignment. And so it was not used for generations. And I have to believe that that is the very reason why they were in need of repair of the temple. It's because when we don't have the word living and active in our life, the breaches come. Because sin takes over. And once the breaches come, the enemy can come in whenever he wants to. He can do whatever he wants because we are unprotected. And so here we go. They go and tell him. They go tell and read the word to Josiah, the word, the book of the law. And he was so motivated about what he read that he ripped his clothes. He tore his clothes. No, this was not a Magic Mike experience that some of y'all should have never, ever seen. I can't believe. You know, speaking of that, let me just say, we've got to protect things that we see. I don't care how old you are. I don't care. I don't care what, because are we going to allow breaches to come into our life? Oh, well, you know what? I know. Well, if you know, apparently you don't know. Because you're allowing things and you're entertaining demonic spirits that are going to take root in your life and it's going to supersede you in the next generation if it's not caught. Oh, I know. You see, let me scoot down here. The rending of clothes, the tearing of clothes, it refers to the act of tearing one's clothes or cutting a black ribbon worn on one's clothes. This rending is a striking expression of grief and anger at the loss of a loved one. He was so moved. That's what that meant. He ripped his clothes. He said, okay, now go take this word. I want to make sure that we get some more info on this. Go inquire about this word. I want to know more. So you know what else happened? Let me scoot back. I'm sorry. So he tells him, he says, go. He goes, they go inquire, go find out more about this word. And so they do. And they go and they seek out a woman. They seek out a woman. It was a prophetess. Her name was Huldah. And it says that because in Dakes commentator, I love my Dakes. I don't know. Some of y'all love Dakes. I get lost in Dakes. I love him. But he begins to explain that the reason for her gifting in seeing and hearing in the spirit had to do with the faithfulness of her husband. And how that he elevated her gift. Now, that's something that she had to do, too. I just thought that was really interesting to point out. And so they sought out a woman. You see, back then, they knew what a woman was, sister. And you know, today, I know what a woman is. And I can define a woman. It's not a hazy thing for me to describe or to define. I can define because a woman is created by God from the rib of man, not to be mistaken for a man with our curvaceousness.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That reiterates the fact that we are not a man. We have the ability in our physical body to conceive, and we have our ability to birth, to give birth. Our bodies, in our bodies, we are designed to nurture. We are fearless. We are flawless. And we are radical for God. We refuse to be duplicated, imitated, and I ain't gonna be aggravated.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We will not be counterfeited,
right.
demoted,
right.
or mocked.
That's right.
But you know what it's going to require for a change in this generation? For you to get your attitude back. For me to get my attitude back. And to do something. To do something to begin to bring back the biblical definition of man. And of woman.
That's right. Amen.
We're going to push back against the agenda.
That's
you don't have
right.
to take it. They tell you you got to take it.
No.
They tell you you have to accept
no.
it. But you don't have to take it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So they go to this prophetess. Her husband was a wardrobe keeper. Find it interesting because he just tore his robes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He tore his robes. But she had access to new clothes through her husband. She had access to the one who kept the wardrobe, the covering, the anointing. The word of God requires us, when we read what God is trying to do, that there are times where we have to tear off the old. Because that old mantle is not going to work in the new season that God is bringing to me. I'm going to tell you that the prophetic voices that you are aligned with, have the access to the mantles that you need to succeed with your assignment in this next season that's coming.
Amen.
Who are you aligned with?
Yes.
What prophetic voices are you opening yourself up to?
That's right. Amen.
What covering
yeah.
are you submitted under? Let's just talk about the submission. It is a God-ordained thing to be submitted. Doesn't mean that we are trampled on. But that is, helps me to stay in check that I have a covering. It's not, it is also for spiritual protection.
That's right. That's right.
And if you don't have a covering, then you need to rethink everything in life right now. Because you are open for attacks when you are not submitted under a covering. So we have to shake off the old. That's what Josiah did. He shook off the old. And God connected him with the right prophetic voice to confirm, to bring insight into the word that God had already spoken. You see, a lot of times prophetic voices, you know, prophecy is to see into the realms of the spirit, into the future. Many times it's to confirm what you already know. A lot of times it's to reveal things about the destiny in your life that maybe you were unaware of, but it should bear witness.
Man.
And it's your responsibility to test that word,
that's
if you're going
right.
to receive it,
right. yes.
if you're not.
Right.
Those of you who are seeing things in the spirit, please use wisdom.
Right.
If you see stuff that's a forewarning, you need to pray it and break it off. Don't go tell somebody. Don't go tell that person. What you thinking? Really? Come on, God gave us a brain. Use it. Use that spirit of wisdom, right? And if you feel like it needs to be said, then you need to go to some people who are seasoned. You need to go to the headship and covering over that person and talk to them. Don't just go and bucket mouth on somebody, because they may not be spiritually strong and rooted enough to it could rock them. And what? Blood's on your hands because of your foolish actions. So she confirms, this prophetess confirms, says, yes, everything in the word is right. She says, thus saith the Lord, you know, thus saith the Lord. And says that everything that you read in the scroll is going to happen. There's destruction that's coming, I'm saying in essence, okay? So for all the religious people in the room, you just get on it. All right? Come on, I know some of y'all probably had a little issue with the song, and that's why I picked it. Praise God. Praise God. We go stir it up. We go stir it up, move it on out of here. Amen. Yes. It was Christian rapper anyway, T-Bone, but that's all right. Y'all can't, now I had somebody, you know, many years in ministry, I had a hip-hop dance crew, Judah Force, and we were doing some dance stuff. And we used some hip-hop, you know, Christian rap and all this stuff. And somebody come tell me something about the Christian rap music. I said, well, you know what? And what I wanted to say, oh, Lord Jesus. Y'all, Jesus came out and stepped on out, and he looked at me and said, don't say it. And I said, you know what? We have to be relatable in this generation. And the reason why I didn't tell her this. I'm telling us this. You know, the reason why we're losing this generation is because of our false idols that we're trying to keep in the church.
Right.
We are no longer relatable to this generation, which is why we are losing them. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, so she goes in and she starts telling me everything was right. In the word, everything God said, she's bringing destruction to Judah because of all the false idols, all of the stuff that's taking place. But because God heard you, Josiah, and because your heart was tender, and because you wept, you're going to die in peace, and you're not going to see all of this destruction. And I want to tell you, ladies, this morning, that God has heard you. Some of you have been praying and crying out because of your children, because of your marriage, because of your circumstance. Maybe it's a physical condition. Maybe it's a financial situation that you're needing a turnaround in your life. God has heard your prayer.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
God has heard you, and he is going to spare you.
Right.
From that destruction, amen. Thank God for your mercy and for your grace, Lord, that you give to us when you hear our cries. Even though he was in line to reap, come on, somebody, he was in line to reap the destruction, but because he had a heart of repentance, not for anything he did. He didn't do anything. But because of the generational curses that were birthed generations before him, he was in line to get it. He was in line to receive the wrath of God. But because he tore his clothes, God said, okay, I'm giving you a new mantle for this new season. So they go back and they tell Josiah everything. They, you know, and so he goes on a war path, y'all. He's like, I'm going to go and we are going to completely annihilate every generational curse. Everything that the enemy has come, even though I didn't cause the problem. And see, some of us are stuck in that because we just staying stuck. God's called us to go raid the tombs.
That's right.
But we're staying stuck. And you know what? We become the bone collector.
Oh, wow.
We are the bone collector.
Oh, man.
See, Josiah went to the graves. This is so morbid and this is so strange, but I love this story. Because it's so radical. It is so radical. He went into the tombs and he dug up all of the bones of the false prophets. This is just some of what he did. He went on and on and on and on about everything. And he didn't just dig them up, but he completely annihilated the existence of even the bones. That he crushed them until they were dust. In many cases of some of the idols and some of the totem poles, the Asherah and all of these other things, a lot of those things that he did, that he would not only beat them until they were dust, but then he would set the dust on fire. He didn't want any trace. He said, I'm drawing the line right now. The generational curses, the demonic cycles, they stop in my life right now, and they stop in the future generation. And some of us have been bone collectors instead of the tomb raider. And we are nursing and nursing those bones, those curses. We can tell you, oh, well, this is just a part of our culture. My anger is a part of that. Or this is just, you know, in South Louisiana, we infiltrate witchcraft into everything. And a lot of us, we accept it, even in the church. Oh, yes, in the church. That we accept it because it's such a part of our South Louisiana culture that we just keep it in there. Well, the reason why you don't have victory in your life,
correct,
in your marriage, and for your children, is because you are nursing what is supposed to be completely demolished in your life. Why are we being bone collectors and carrying them around? We talk of a God, you are more than able, but we limit his ability for what we choose to carry, for what we choose to nurse in our life when God has called us to completely annihilate everything. He has called us to annihilate every remains. Let's talk about some of the things that he, because, you know, I find my dad, Pastor Garland, has been talking about that we are dealing in this nation with ancient spirits. Some of you are like, huh, well, you know, what are you talking about? Well, I want to talk about it. We're going to talk about it right now. Because everything that, you know, we think, oh, this is so bad. All this stuff that's playing out is stuff that already took place. He began to go, and Josiah tore down, you know, altars of, we have Molech, which that represents abortion, where they would take babies alive and throw them into the fire. And then they had a special drum that they would play that would be so loud that they would drown the cries of the children so that it wouldn't interrupt the worship to Molech. Asherah. Which is, they would make totem poles. They would have all of these things for sexual perversion and sexual acts. Well, you know what? Josiah's father allowed all that in front of the temple. Yeah. Sin in the temple.
Yeah.
Sexual perversions, confusion, the identity crisis is at an all-time high. We've got people that are supporting bills and agendas to begin to change the God-ordained identity of children. You can't tell me we're not dealing with ancient spirits. You can't tell me, because even though Josiah went and obliterated and completely annihilated the very remains of the things that took place and allowed those spirits into this world, someone opened up a portal and let it back in. And many of us have allowed it in the church. There's one thing that when we're working out our salvation, and there's people that are, we're all about deliverance. The church is not for the perfect. And if you think that, then you need to get out of this house. The church is for the broken and for the hurting. It's for deliverance. It's a place for freedom. But by no means does that mean that if you are active and living in sin and in sexual perversions, that you have place on the stage. And the days that we have allowed people who are active in perverse sexual issues on the stage and given that spirit place, and we wonder why there's breaches in the presence of God. Because it happened in the church. When are we going to pick up what God has put in our hands for our family, for ourselves, for this generation, for this nation? Because you see, there's not going to be a change until we make a physical act. Our actions trigger a response for a takeover in the spirit. What are you doing in your life? Are you just complaining and just about your situation? Well, I'm praying, Bethany. I've been praying. But what are your physical actions? What is your physical response? Because faith without
works.
So when are we going to take action? And with an attitude. And you're not going to have my kids.
That's right.
You're not going to have this generation. You're not having my marriage. You're not having my family. We refuse to allow the portals that have been open over this nation to bring confusion to our children's identity. We call forth for revival, and we tear down every demonic spirit, every demonic altar, every altar that has been built an idolatry in the church, because the repairs to the temple will not take place until you and I make a decision to take action. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how awesome you pray. It doesn't matter how awesome you can quote the word. But if you fail to take action, this generation will die. This generation won't know who our God is. They won't know that our God is a miracle-working God. What's it going to take for you and I? What's it going to take for the church today to stand up and say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people trying to push things down my throat of ungodly agendas, trying to bring confusion to my kids, can't even watch anything on TV, can't do nothing because they're have an agenda to try to bring confusion. Come on, I'm picking up. I don't know about you, even if it's just me. I'm a tomb raider. I'm coming to raid the tombs. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come in my family. Enough is enough. I've had enough. I'm ready to take over. It's a physical act. God, we're telling you today that we commit to you. We're no longer gonna be the bone collectors. But God, we're taking action today. We're taking action. I'm tired of you coming into church. I'm tired of the sin that is being displayed and praised in church. We're not doing that. We're breaking that today. We're breaking everything that the enemy has tried to do to take out this generation. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, God. Enough is enough. God, and we just thank you this morning for women that are rising up with an attitude in this place that we're tired. We're tired of what the enemy is doing to our family. Some of us in this room, that you're dealing with anxiety and panic attacks. Some of you in this room, the warfare has been so intense that it is almost outweighing your physical stance. And that's going to be broken. That's another thing that's broken, is a spirit of fear, because we can't see a takeover if we're controlled by fear. Lord, I just thank you for it today. Hallelujah. I thank you for deliverance in the room. I thank you, God, that today as we are setting the course of this conference, we're going ahead and we're getting rid of these generational curses, things that we are aware of. Lord, it doesn't matter if we did create it or not. If we're a victim, many of us are victims. We're not in line for the blessing because of the former generations, but because of your mercy and your grace. You've heard our cries, and we thank you, God, that you're going to move on our behalf. I just thank you, Lord. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what? I'm tired of what the enemy is doing in my life, in my family. And I'm drawing the line today. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do. And then you're saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to make a stand. I'm a tomb raider for Jesus. And I'm not taking anything off the enemy. You know what? It's going to cause you and force you to be controversial. It's going to cause you to not be politically correct. Are you okay with that? Can you handle that? Are you okay with that?
Yes.
It's going to come with the price.
Yes.
It's going to come with you having to get up off of it and to do something with what God has called you to do. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what? I am a tomb raider. I'm a tomb raider for Jesus. I'm ready to destroy, go to the graves, go to the dark places, Dig up every remains of the enemy in my family, for this nation, for this generation. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? If you say, you know what, I want prayer. I need prayer this morning. I need prayer. Come on, we believe in prayer this morning. There's power that's in agreement. When we come together, the word says to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not just, you know, some magical thing. It's a supernatural thing from God that takes place. And so if you're wanting prayer this morning for things that you're going through, maybe some of us in this place, we have been nursing that what should be dead, what should be not just dead, it's already dead, but what should be totally annihilated in our life. And you say, you know what? Maybe I have been having too much drama for my mama and operating in that. And I'm ready to get rid of that. I'm ready to start reversing demonic cycles. I'm ready to pray for, you know, whatever it is. You need physical healing. Why don't you come on up this morning? And we're going to lay hands and pray for you this morning. Two things I just called out was the first thing that you're saying, you know what? I want prayer and agreement. I am a tomb raider for Jesus, and I want agreement. I want agreement for my new mantle, for the new anointing. I'm ripping off the old. The second thing is you know what? I'm ready to stop holding and stop being the bone collector. I'm ready to let go of all those things because you know what? That can't go with you in this new season. Come on up if that's you. Hallelujah. We're going to come by and lay hands on you. It's time to be controversial with our actions. It's time to make that stand and be radical and not be worried about what people are going to say and what they're going to think. They're going to talk about you anyway, so give them something to talk about. Give him a good topic. Why don't you lift your hands? Just begin to call on the Lord. We're going to come in with agreement. And as we lay hands and believing for God to meet every need, he's more than able. Amen. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands and begin to cry out to him right now. Hallelujah. We are tomb raiders. Our prayer team, the ones that this house has assigned to lay hands on prayer, if you're not already in the altar, if you would come forward and help in the altars at this time. Lord, I just thank you for your presence. We thank you, God. Sorry.